Mishnah Hey. Paya Omer B'Tefillah. Now, what happens if you're standing in prayer? He was standing in prayer. V'nizkar shu balkeri. And in the mid-prayer, you say, oh my gosh, I forgot that I'm balkeri. And we're going, that balkeri shouldn't be davening in the first place. So, lo yafsik, it's inappropriate to tell him to the melech to stop short. Once you're davening, you need it anyways, it's rachamim. Ela yikatzer, you should shorten his tefillah. What does that mean? It basically means you say the beginning and the end of each bracha. So, ata chonen adam das, baruch ata Hashem, chonen adas, and so on. So you just, and we say there's the opening and the closing of each bracha to rush through it. Yeah. Fine. Now, a new point has nothing to do with Balkari anymore in the second part of the Mishnah here. Now, this next part of the Mishnah deals with a different concept altogether, which is there's a pasuk that says, if I remember exactly, I don't remember exactly, it says, maybe you'll correct me, it says, V'haya machanech kadosh, or kodesh, and your machne should be kadosh, your encampment should be kadosh, and also, I forgot the pasuk, like, lo yira lecha
ervas
davar. You shouldn't be exposed to a ervas davar. Let's loosely translate it as like a not nice thing, an obscene thing, something like that. Erva, of course, means like a nakedness. Okay, so the principle is that when it comes to Devarim Shebe Kedusha, Kriyat Shema, Davening, Talmud Torah, you can't do it in either a place that's not kadosh, dirty, filthy place, smelly place, and also you can't do it in front of an erva, in front of nakedness. The whole world of halachas, those are the principles going on here. And there's a separate principle, which is on top of that, when you say a davar shebe kedusha, your heart shouldn't see, quote unquote, your erva. It has to be something that divides between your upper body and your lower body. That's the gartel coming from that idea. And certainly, if you'd be wearing like a jalabiya, one of these, you know, the Muslim nightgown outfits, you'd have to wear like a belt or something, la halacha, because there's nothing interceding between. But normally, we have a belt and pants, so trousers on, not a problem. Either way, those are the principles in play here. So here's what happens. If you, and remember one other thing, remember we said that the Vasikin, the people who take mitzvah seriously, they want to say Kriyat Shema before sunrise. So it's a very short amount of time. So here's the guy, Yard Litbol, he went to the mikvah, he went, Yarad, went down to do Tevilah. He's in the mikvah there, and the mikvah itself is, yeah? Now, and he's naked, obviously. Im Yachal La'alos, if you can get out, so you can get up out of the mikvah, his kasos and cover himself. That's Allah. Velikros and then say Kriyat Shema ad shelo tanet zechama before sun has sparked above the horizon. So then yale, get up, use kasa, cover yourself, veyikrami and say it. What if you can't? You know, it's too long a process. Time is too short. So then yiskasa b'mayim veyikra, cover yourself with the water and say Kriyat Shema. Okay. So we're not talking about place. Yeah. So what does that mean? It means that you basically have half your body above the water and half your body below the water, so there's something dividing the two. And this is an important point, it can't be clear water. Either it has to be murky water, or you have to kick up the dirt to make it murky. So that's the issue of now your heart seeing your air. That's why I'm bringing it in here. That's the halacha. You can say Kriyat Shema if you got it in the mikvah itself, just kick up the dirt so that it's no longer transparent, the water, and you will say Shema with your, the water being the dividing line between your higher body uncovered and your lower body, which is yes covered and divided and not seeing each other. Okay. My understanding is, for the record, that it's a relatively modern phenomenon that everyone's davening at nates. Like the Vasikin tribe, there's a Gemara that says like who, Rabbi so and so, he once made it. He once got it just right and hit nates as he went to Shemot Esrei. And like he smiled the whole day long, like everything was so excited, he finally pulled it off. It's a tricky business. I mean, now everyone's at a clock, and you know what's going to happen, and I'm looking at the horizon, you just watch the clock. But it's a relatively new phenomenon that everyone, you know, so widespread. Okay. It takes a trick. The Rambam tries, he says, you have 6 minutes. He gives you 6 minutes between, before nates. I guess you have to know, I guess if you're used to seeing sunrise, you'll know that's about to happen based on the lightness outside. Either way, okay. Now, you got some problems because of machanecha kadosh if it smells. Avalo yiskasa lo b'mayim haroyim, not with foul water, let's call it smelly water, because you can't say a davar shebe kedusha in a smelly, the presence of something that smells. It smells putrid, garbage or whatever, dirty diaper and so on. Velo b'mei hamishra, and also not in soap water that's for soaking. They used to soak flax to prepare it for making linen, and I guess that process had a terrible odor to it. So you can't.
When you say dirty water, did it have to be like something
that was sewage? Foul smelling.
Because some water just smells nasty.
Yeah, no good. It smells nasty. It's the you can't say creative one. Whatever it is, you know, it's oftentimes.
It could be an outside source. It could be the water itself.
Yeah, for sure. Oftentimes, will happen. Halacha. You walk into a room you're about to learn, and you say, "Hey, it kind of smells in here." And you don't know what the smell is. It's a problem. So you ascertain what's going on over there. But if this bottom line, a smell. I just may open it. A smell that has no like physical thing that it's emanating from. Just a lingering smell. You could say Adarsh and Kedusha. Your most common example, of course, is you're davening and someone else passes gas around you. Okay, you don't have to stop for that, even though it stinks, right? But there's nothing there, there's no piece of excrement lying around. As opposed to, if there's a dirty diaper in the room, then the dirty diaper is a source of foulness. And that you'd have to know this to yourself from where the smell ends for almost.
If you throw it outside, you could daven right away.
That's right. As long as it's on the side of a wall, whatever it is. That's right. If you smell it, you gotta get away from it. So this water smells. So you can't say shema there. So I always had a kasha. Maybe you think of the kasha yourself. It said may. It says my marim, sticky water is no good. Then it says may a mishra, soaking water, because it stinks. So I don't know what's that. So I'll tell you, Rav Spetner told me. I forgot his first name. I still have mine. Anyone remember his first name? Spetner. Okay. From Berkowitz is called. I asked him his kasha, and he thought about it long and hard. He came back. I don't know who he asked. He had it's amazing halachic insight. He said that may a mishra, of course it stinks, but everyone is used to the smell. So they didn't think, what's the big deal already? Once you're used to it, so they didn't count it. So it's saying, no, if it's objectively bad, it doesn't matter, it's not bothering you anymore. So I think, now you have to go ask your rabbi if you work on a farm, let's say, but I find you walk on a farm, the whole place smells like a refuse, but it smells like a manure pile. I don't know how you can function. I don't think it matters, because the farmer doesn't bother them. Even if you go to the farm after a few hours, you're used to the smell, and that's that. If it's true, what Rav Spetner was saying, then you've done Daniel Spetner, then you have a... Then you have a problem. That's how you want to explain it. I think it's true. Otherwise, it's a very difficult mission. Okay. Now the next mission is our first example. It's called I just say it outside. A chasuri mechzera. Okay. I'm telling you ahead of time now. If you've not heard this before, it's only going to bother you. What can I do? It means that something's missing from the mission. There are words missing from the mission. Okay. Words missing. As you can imagine, that the Mefarshim explain did it on purpose. Didn't do it on purpose. They obviously didn't correct it once they found the missing word.
We didn't,
but you're about to run into a chasuri mechzera, so before I translate the next words, I want to tell you, there's words missing from the Mishnah, so you're going to say, where does it say that? I'm going to tell you, it doesn't. Okay? But maybe it's a whole shiur to itself, why and what. The Gra definitely said it's on purpose, for Kabbalistic reasons. For sure he went that way.
For censorship reasons.
For Kabbalistic reasons. The Mishnah is read the way it reads, and like the fact that words missing didn't bother Rebbe at all. Like, he had the other agenda. Either way, the words read like this. I'll read the sentence again. Avaloyis kasa loba maim haroim. You can't cover yourself in what's called smelly water, foul water. Loba mea mishra. And not in soaking water. Ad shiyatul sochan maim. Until you pour into them water. Yeah, but what they're referring to? That's referring to being in the presence of urine. If you're in the presence of urine, so you have to pour water to dilute the urine. So that means, if, like, for example, there's one urination amount on the floor, whatever that is, so then one person went on the floor, you have to pour in Revius water to dilute that water before you can say Shema. If there are two people went to the toilet there, you need to pour in two Reviuses. Fine. Now, v'kama yachik mehem, how far do you have to go away from the urine puddle? Uminatsoa, and also fecal matter? Arba amos. It's four amos. There's a machlokas, if it means from four amos from the actual feces itself, or from where the smell ends, and the lacha, bottom line, it's four amos from the smell ends, which can be far, far away, obviously. So you have a dirty diaper which is not lying there in the garbage and it smells, right? You gotta distance yourself four amos from where the smell of it ends, which could be far. There's a separate issue. We're talking about smell up to now. Now, if you can see the fecal matter, no go. You can't daven looking at feces. And it's not an issue of smell. If you can see it, it's in your eye view, you can't say it. So when it says let's study, what it means is, if you don't see it, but you still smell it. If you do see it, all bets are off. You have to cover it up. Cover it up. Okay, or whatever, look the other way, and not smell it. Okay?